Accession number 28668, Mr. Frank Rogers, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Rogers?
I was born in Northampton on the 5th of the 1st, 33.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Family background, working class people. Councillors.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a tannery worker, in a leather tannery.
And was that steady employment? There was always a redundancy.
As steady as it was in them days, yeah.
And was that a comfortable upbringing?
Yeah, it was great, you know, the area where we lived, it was quite a good area. It wasn't in the old part of Northampton, it was newish.
Yeah. And did your mother work?
Not until the Second World War.
And what, were there any others in the family?
Brother.
Older or younger?
Younger. Oh, and the stepsister.
And basically a normal working class upbringing in the town. Perfectly happy.
Yes.
Now what about your education? Tell us a bit about that.
I started the school at the age of 5. And it was called a tin school because it was a new estate. It was like a temporary sort of a school. And then I went to St Matthew's Junior, and from there to Ketchum Road Senior.
Now, how did you do at school as a lad?
Below 50%.
Now, what problems did you have?
Spelling. English and that was my worst subject. Other subjects, okay.
Did you just not like English, or was it couldn't do it?
Probably I didn't get enough hours in school because, you know, we had the vacuees down here. Well, one week we'd do mornings, then the following week we'd do afternoons. Whether that had anything to do with it and the moving about and stuff, I don't know.
Did you have any favourite subjects?
History, geography, sports. Maths, I was all right at the time.
So it was just a bit of a blind spot on English.
Yeah.
You weren't dyslexic, as they call it now.
Well, I think perhaps I am. Yeah.
Because it's just with being good at the others. Now, what about... Now, you were about six. You were six when the war started. Mm. Now, you're only a small child, but do you remember the sort of impact the Second World War had on your life? You know, do you remember the day war broke out and what?
Yes.
What happened that day? Do you remember?
My dad said, "Cross, I should be in the army tomorrow," and he was because he was in the TA, on the reserve.
And did you understand what that meant?
Well, I knew that the year before the Second World War, I knew he went to camp and certain Nazis went to the drill hall of such, wherever they met. Well, I didn't know where, but I should imagine it was a drill. Yeah.
And did you understand he was not coming, you know, he's going to be away for years or could be away for years?
Well, I didn't know. That didn't sink in. I thought perhaps he'd be home again at Norwich, but it didn't happen.
And were you worried for him? Did it worry you?
Yes, it did, yeah.
And what other effects? So your dad was called up as a territorial, mm-hmm. and he went. Now, what other impacts on your life the war had?
Well, apart from his dad being away from home, my mother had to do... That's when she started work then. And she worked in a munitions factory in Northampton. Well, it wasn't actually explosive stuff, but it was the shells they used to make.
The
casings, yeah. And with Mum going to work and probably a bit of money what Dad was sending home, she started putting a ace together that we'd never known before. You know, buying things for the ace. I remember that when we first had our dining room suite. Stuff like that.
So there's more money coming into the house.
Yeah.
Now, what about the other impact? What about these evacuees? Tell me about them and what effect they had on you.
Well, apart from the schooling, I always remember the hours we're doing, like I said before. And And we had them, they'd come round and they'd weigh up how many bedrooms you got and said, you've got to take two evacuees virtually. You know, they made it certain what they wanted, and then that's what we've done. I think we had three lots of evacuees.
Now, how did they fit into your house? You know, where'd they come from? I mean, were they coming from London or were they coming from...
From London, yeah.
And how did they fit in?
I don't know whether I dare say this, but the first lad we had was a Jewish lad, and he was a student. He was 16 plus, I think, at the time. He was a student, and he was trained. Even then, he told us he was studying to be a doctor. Well, with the rationing, Jews are not supposed to have pork, but he's the only, what I can remember, he was the only Jew that used to eat egg and bacon, because being rationed, he thought he was entitled to a certain amount, but he thought he was going to have all the bacon, but that all stuck in my mind. And then out of that, we had a girl, and she, I forget what her name was now. But she was just on her own. She was about 3 years older than me. And they didn't stay at the full term of the war. They went back to London when they knew that things probably was a bit better in their area, or, you know, if this was such a thing. And then we finished off having...
Now, how'd you get on with this girl? She'd be about 9 or 10 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Well, quite well, you know, apart from them speaking a bit funny.
Did you find it? I mean, the accents then were much more extreme. Yeah. Always, you know, Northampton and in London.
Yeah.
Did you find they spoke funny?
Yeah. It, you know, because you never moved about like you do today, and it was like when you go to Norfolk and the way they talk there, and even now. It struck home to me about, you know, how they spoke and all that.
Did she suffer from homesickness or
Johnny? Yeah, she was very upset when they first come and that, but you know, she sort of settled in, and she went to her, she didn't go to the same school as me, being that much older, but she seemed to settle in the girls' school where she went to, well, I can remember.
And about how long was she there for?
18 months, 2 years probably.
And did you have another, because the student wasn't there long, I presume?
No, his mother didn't think it was right for him to be away from the religious.
So what about the third lot you got? Oh.
Well, I can't remember much about them, and I should do, really, because I was a bit older. I think there were two lads, two brothers. But I got on roll, and I can't even remember their names.
Were they about your age, or...?
Yeah, about my age, yeah. And I don't think they stopped all that long. There was bad times in London, and that's when they left for that reason. Then some. I think the families got split up that much if there was anything going to happen to them, they were all going to be together. Which I got that impact, you know, family tie. Look, I say, well, I thought it was, but I don't know.
No. So you were given extra rations, I presume, to cope with the evacuees, or your mother was?
Well, we had had another ration book. That's how they done it. I didn't supply with any more. It's just that. I think there was allowance for the evacuees off the government, you know, and ration book, and that's how it levelled itself out.
Now tell me about the rationing anyway. How did that affect you for both food and clothing? Because you're a growing lad and no other boy in the family for hand-me-downs, and there's also the food. What do you want to look at first?
Well, food, we had sufficient food in our family, because we had rabbits, chickens, you name it.
Where were they from? I mean...
They were in the back garden. And, you know, my father, before he went in the army, we always used to go down the cattle market, and there was always chickens in the house. In the garden. Ever since I can remember.
So you get eggs from that?
And you
kill them and all?
Yeah.
So you didn't. What about you're only a nipper. What about the lack of fruit and sweet things like bananas, but sweets as well? They were rationed.
Oh yeah.
Did you
miss
them, or were you not bothered?
Well, we missed the quantity, you know, that we could have before the war. But when So, I mean, I'm not being too... the amount of money that we had to play with, you know, the family had, we had, the sweets was always... There was one week we couldn't have any sweets because I think it was about £0.75. So we used to have a quarter each week. I don't know whether that's accurate, but that's how I sort of remembered. And apart from that, and fruit, well, fruit, when it was in season in England at the time, the only fruit you'd have during the winter would be apples that was stored, you know. And as far as fruit, I don't know, a pear, there was one or two pears knocking about, I think, but I never, don't remember much about pears or plums, that they weren't in season. And the rest was dried fruit that we had, and it was used in the cooking.
Now, what about clothing rationing? I mean, you have to have the money to buy them as well, but I mean, how did you go for clothes?
Mum managed to keep, you know, with the money that she had and that, but I mean, it didn't matter about the money, you had to have the clothing coupons to use. You know, that was, you know, so it was always the back of the mind that your school clothes was the first, even in them days. I mean, a lot of people didn't, but when you got older, you had grey flannels, well, there was all grey or black, you know, in your flannels. There'd be something for your school as well as your Sunday best. It was closely, you know, linked.
Now, what about the various things about gas attacks and air raid? Do you remember being given your gas mask? Because you were such a small child. Do you remember what you thought of it when you got it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. We used to, because we had an Anderson shelter in the garden, and when we used to go down, Northampton itself was very lucky during the war. We had one or two mishaps, but nothing.
And tell me about the Anderson shelter then. We'll come back to the gas mask. Yeah. It's all right. Now, who put it in, and what was it? What was it like in there?
Well, the Anderson shelter was a corrugated reinforced steel sheeting, and the corporation had men come round and assemble them in, and there was half in and half out the ground, and you had a grave in the back garden, and that was, and it was, no, some people who got a bit of cash, they had in concrete, and others had a dirt one. Nearly always two or three frogs in there when you used to get in there at night, and that caused a bit of a stir. Well,
I mean, were they down? I mean, because did they go down below the? I'm not sure what area you're in, or whether it was on a hill. I mean, was it damp in there?
Oh yes, two or three inches of water sometimes.
What did you do? Put some decking down, or
that was decking, and then we used to have a little sump hole one end where we used to bail it out every so often.
Yeah, any bunks or anything, chairs or anything in there?
I think we had one or two chairs. We never had any bunks or nothing.
And what was it like? Would you spend the night in there when it was a raid warning, or would you just go in there when there was actually obviously bombs falling?
We used to listen for the siren, and we used to be in there until that they had the all clear, and then we'd get out.
So that could be quite a while.
Yeah, that varied quite a bit.
And what was it like in there?
Bloody terrible.
How? What was it like?
Well, cold, damp, and then when the candles used to get knocked over, we was in the darkness.
So no electric lighting, I should have been.
No.
Were you scared?
For the start, but then it was like kids that we were, it was a game. We had our favourite corners and all that game.
And you'd all go in there, so the evacuees, when they were there?
Oh, yeah, the lot, yeah.
Your mum and you.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
And your sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the answer. Now, what about the gas mask? Let's get back to that. Did you actually have one and carry it with you? Tell me about that.
You used to go to school every day with the gas mask. I can't remember it, but it was years. And then as the war proceeded, and well, there was still bombing in England, but I can't remember how old I was when. I know we wouldn't carry them. Well, when it finished, it was, I think that was the...
Did you have to try them on when they were fitted? What do you remember of that?
Bit frightening for a start, because you're breathing, you've got to get everybody sort of panicked a bit. And out of that, you got the condensation away from your pores, you could see what was going on. It was okay.
How long would the test be? This was when you first issued, was it?
Yeah, it was the ARP man used to come round and check, see if it was all right, and if it was wrong. Or
there were different sizes, I presume, as well, yeah, for kids.
I was a Mickey Mouse one that they laid the babies in and zipped up. So it was in a like a carry cut thing with the top over it. Then I don't know whether the younger ones, they had a sort of what we call a Mickey Mouse one, perhaps that was the name of it. And then the young children and the grown ups had different sizes, same style.
What about the air raids? I mean, you said Northampton was very lucky. Do you remember anything about the air raids on Northampton and when they came, or what it was like?
We always got the siren, and I think if we had a few incendiaries and an odd bomb on the surrounding area, that was all Northampton got. We used to have the siren for when there was bombing Coventry. And I remember one night, or two or three nights, when you could look over the sky towards northwest, as Coventry is from Northampton, I think, and you could see the glow of the sky where the fires were going in Coventry.
Now, did you follow the progress of the war? I mean, and if so, how? Because I mean, you're just the right age expected, yeah, during that period to get all.
Yeah.
I mean, would you follow where your dad was? What was going on? Tell us about that.
Followed the war, quite a bit, because the papers and all the soldiers and the ships and all that came. It was all exciting. It was a terrible time, but I mean, it was exciting for us.
And what was the main medium of information? Was it newspapers or radio?
Well, radio, but papers more so. I mean, there weren't many people had radios, to be quite honest. You know, it wasn't one of them things that they were normal.
Did you sort of cut out the maps and a scrapbook or anything?
Oh yeah, and the main front page. It was like, you know, it was all splashed out over there, and all the troops getting, especially with Dunkirk and that and all that caper. Yeah, and my father, he was in France before Dunkirk, and he come back just before Dunkirk because they started. And when he went out there with horses, because it was a cavalry regiment, I come back to England with horses. And then he went to Egypt, Palestine.
Which regiment was he with?
13th and 18th Hussars. And finished up in the Yorkshire Yeomanry. And then he went to Egypt, that, and they still had horses. And while he was out there, they took all the horses away, no mention that they were going, and the armoured cars they took over. And my father said, and he was a sergeant then, he said, I can't drive a vehicle. He said, well, they were told that it's all the sand out there in the world. He said, you won't get into trouble, get in them and drive them around. And that's how he started driving.
How did you keep in contact with him? Both letters from him and you write it. Can you talk about the letters you'd write?
He used to tell us, well, there was a lot of censored, but he used to tell us that he was keeping well and he missed us all.
Would he write often to you?
Well, I can't remember, yeah. I mean, I don't think many people wrote all that often in them days. Not as much.
Was it weekly, monthly, or?
Well, I don't know. It could be once a fortnight, say, for the best, judge of mine.
And would you write back to him? I mean, I know you're only, 10?
I don't think I might have said on the bottom, love you, Dad, in my own writing, but that was about it. That's about all it was. Yeah.
So, now, what about your hobbies during the war? I mean, how did the war affect your sort of children's games, your hobbies, that sort of thing? You know, yeah. I don't know what hobbies you had. I mean, what were your main hobbies?
Well,
sport,
keeping a few rabbits and chickens. And then, because of the war, condition of the war we was living in, we used to, at school, we used to collect paper for the war effort. and metal. We weren't Del Boys boy anymore, you know, tatters. But and we used to get an emblem. If it's so much white of paper, they'd make you a Lance Corporal or and something like that. And everybody was trying to be a general. It was a kids' game sort of thing to help you. The
now, where would you get the paper and the metal from? Tell us about, I've never heard about this before.
Haven't you?
Where would you get it from?
Well, from your neighbours. They'd say the next couple were got no children. They used to say, can I take your papers to school? And we used to make bundles of it. And I don't know where we used to have it collected or taken to school, but it was, I think it was at school we took it. And they had all the chains off the front walls of razors and that, and they scrapped a lot of that. But any metal that was in the garden, like a pram or a mower or something like that, it wasn't working. They used to take bits like that. Any metal that was they could melt down, I suppose. Yeah.
And then you get these ranks. Do you
know
what you finished up as?
Well, I don't think I made sergeant, but but it was worked out on how many pence of paper you know, used to weigh. So you imagine what was the involvement was. Yeah.
So you go around the streets as well.
Knocking on the door asking if they've got any papers they want to get rid of.
That's one thing. What are the hobbies or interests during the war years?
One of my hobbies was what I earned my living at was a carpentry when I started at school. You know, woodwork and metal was getting away from the other basic lessons. And
So you took that home with you as well?
Well, you know, it sort of started at home. I was doing bits and pieces, you know, building an old hut or something like that, you know. The timber was a bit short, though. We used to wait for the shop on the corner to have their tea boxes emptied. We used to make them into rabbit cubs and stuff like that.
And were you self-taught then at that stage, or just what you got at school?
No, just teaching from school that started off, yeah.
And did you have your own set of tools, or amass your own set of tools?
No.
Or just
if I had an hammer, that was about, and a buckled or rusty saw, that was about me lot.
So rough carpentry.
Oh yeah, we're very rough.
Now, Any events or things happen as the war goes on, you know, just things you remember or stories from the war years?
Well, after my dad died in the forces, we used to go to the orphans' Christmas parties.
Well, tell me about your because your father died in an accident in 44, June 44,
yeah,
just before D-Day.
Yeah.
Now, what were the circumstances as you understood it? What impact did that have on you?
So I couldn't believe it, you know, it was hard to sink in. It was, you know, I expect still was it when people die like that and you was only seeing like 2 days or so or 3 days before and it hard to sink in.
And it was June 44, was it? Or was it May?
I forget now.
But around about then?
Yeah. And they had a military funeral, all his men from his own regiment coming after. And
what had happened to him? Do you know what the accident was?
Well, he billeted him in this big ace, and he fell out of a window. I don't know whether he was drunk or whether he was whatever, but he fell out this window and he injured himself, and he died later in the hospital, and he ruptured his kidney or something. I don't know how high the wind was or where it was, but
now what impact did that have on the family? I mean,
well, my mum, you know, it was unbelievable, you know, to lose a member. I mean, it was the first time I'd lost grandparents before, but when it's in your immediate family, it's a bit of a blow. It took me a long while to get over that. Yeah.
And how did you cope as a family, you know, without... Did your mother get a pension or...?
Oh, yeah, she got a pension, yeah. I mean, it wasn't much of one because she was earning a lot, you know, it was sort of scaled and whatever your total income was. And she either how she managed to keep her head above water with the kids as well.
So you'd be 11 then?
Yeah.
We got onto this because you said you attended an orphan's party. Tell me about that. That sounds interesting.
Who
organises?
It was through the borough, and there was a local ice cream bloke that was in 10, and of course I was swimming, that was taboo. It was using the facilities up. No, there were no ice cream people or anything, knocking around then. And he wangled one way or another, and he made, I remember he made a load of ice cream. We all had ice cream at this party, and they used to, and prisoners of war, they used to make children's things, and they at the town, or when we used to have it down there, they used to give us a toy and give us a like a tea party sort of thing. Yeah, and I've tried to the Northampton used to have an independent, it was like all the highlights of the town of a month, I think it was a monthly magazine, and there was a bit of picture on it of all the kids in this party, and the wife and her two brothers were on the same picture, and I knew her older brother, and she said, well, when a mother showed me, I said, well, I went to them things, and I looked at the, and there I was.
Now, how long did these go on for? I mean, not just the war, I think
we had a couple of parties after the war, but then it fizzled out then, you know.
Now, so anything else about the war? Well, the war years, or is the next thing the VE Day and VJ Day?
Oh, yeah, I remember the parties, yeah.
You had parties for both?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, tell me about the, which do you remember best, the VE Day?
The VE Day one.
Tell me about the street party, because we're very interested in how they were organised, what they did for the kids. Yeah.
Well, the street party, everybody in the street, the area, every street had their own party, and the people in their street, we had all the dining room tables out in the road, all the chairs, paper hats that we made, and then they screened around. The oranges started coming in a bit then, and one or two bananas, the bananas as well, and we all had one of them each, and then the women that they. The mothers, they cooked cakes and bits and pieces, and we had a tea party in the street. It was great. And there were streamers, and we had banners up from one house to the other opposite. It was quite good.
Any games or?
Oh yeah, they all got sack race and all that kind of, yeah.
Music, dancing, or anything?
Oh. No, it was the old record player.
Wind up record player.
Yeah.
And VJ Day, much the same.
Yeah, I mean, VE Day was the best, really, because it was the first sort of celebration we had during the war. This VJ Day was a bit lukewarm, but we had a good party for that as well. Yeah, and I remember one of the men coming back from Japan. He was prisoner of war, and he was a slight. And when he went, because I remember, you knew everybody in the area, and when he come home, he could hardly get out of the taxi and walk to his door. He was that frail. Yeah, and that sort of stuck home to me, because it changed that much from when I knew him, let's say four or five years before. It was that all stuck in my mind.
Now. So the end of the war, you'd still be at school, of course.
Yes.
And what's the next thing that happens? I mean, or is it just not? What about your education? What are you planning to do? I mean, are you just leaving school at 14?
I was going to leave at 14. And
so that'd be 1947.
Yeah.
So another 2 years to go, roughly.
Yeah. Well, I carried on. We started taking up going fishing. With some of the lads in the street. I mean, there wasn't a day in the holidays that it was in the summer we was away fishing.
Now, why fishing? I mean, that's a pretty quiet thing. Was it? Was it a craze or what happened?
Well, it was a thing that you would get a set of fishing rods, and you was Jack the Lad. You could leave the cane home at school, at home, sort of thing. And you thought it was like a club, as you might say. We could. Lads had probably, his father had done fishing, and the father passed the equipment down to the lad, and of course there'd just be a bit of a market buying and selling reels and rods and that, and think, you know, we want to get the right gear for the right job.
So where would you go?
River End, down Rushmere Road, along the River End, there's Abington Mill, Wesson Mill, Billing Aquedome.
Poaching? I mean, because, so, you know, I'm not meaning deliberately, but some areas of the river...
Oh, they're private.
They're private,
yeah, aren't they? Yeah, but I would never... hang on a minute, let's get... Overston Lakes, that was private, I think. I don't think it was allowed to go there.
So you didn't go there?
Not very often.